welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley. I'm sitting here with Kyle McRavy of the News Tribune. And, Kyle, I guess the biggest difference that I think we're seeing, you know, of the maturation process that the Tigers took last year is that last year we had games where we thought were winnable and we needed to see big results and we maybe didn't see them. This year we had a game where we thought we're going to see a big result, and we certainly did with that 51-0 win against Murray State.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that game was pretty interesting to cover for about 6 minutes. Right. And then after the pick six to go up 21-0, I was kind of zoning out a little bit here and there.
Well, let's get into some of that, because again, you know what, we kind of talked a little bit last week that not only was Murray State, you know, a 2-9 team the previous year and a 2-9, you know, FCS team the previous year, but they just kind of, they showed that they deserve to be that kind of program, frankly, because not only were they not very good, and that we didn't expect that they were going to be very good, but I was not impressed with just the quality level of the players at all, but also they just did a lot of stupid things where I get it. Maybe as a coach, you're like, well, let's show confidence in our guys and let's onside kick it. Don't onside kick it. It failed miserably. And then it was, you know, let's try this. Let's go it on, you know, fourth and short in our deep in our territory. We'll get it. You won't get it. You didn't get it. And it just seemed like that they just made a lot of dumb, stupid mistakes for a team that didn't have any margin of error anyway.
I do understand the impulse to be aggressive.
Right.
Because as a Murray State coming in, if you're going to win that game, yeah, you need to recover an onside kick to start. You need to go for it on fourth down and get it.
Right.
You need to hit on, like, these risky chances.
Yeah.
I think if you're coming in and saying, like, let's not get embarrassed.
Right.
Then, yeah, you're going to, you know, do the regular things, kick deep, punt when there's the opportunity and everything. I think those first two decisions are kind of like, look, we're coming out here and we're going to do what we can to make this a game.
Right.
And to make that a game, yeah, you have to take those chances and you have to get them. But once you fail a couple times, it becomes, all right, let's back off, let's punt.
And you and I talked about how at the point with which we talked about it, we thought 48 points, 40.5 was a lot of points to be giving somebody. It moved to, I think, 50.5 by game time, which was still a lot to be giving somebody, and yet they still covered, and those decisions helped that cover immensely, where you go, you know, we talked about how things are going to have to go perfectly if you're going to beat somebody by 50. They maybe didn't necessarily go perfectly, because Mizzou had still some moments where they didn't look necessarily awesome, but yeah, they still got there with ease, because you know you got a team that's going, we don't need all our possessions, have some of them.
Yeah, and like we talked about it, you know, you basically have to score on every possession. Well, Mizzou essentially did. I mean, you had the one fumble on the pop pass, which I guess was designed to be a pop pass. Luther Burden kind of cut it in a little bit too close, so it ended up more as a handoff. Not worth, you know, challenging,
right,
whether it's a pass or a fumble, you know, handoff or anything, so whatever. You have that, and I think one punt.
Yeah.
So, you know, essentially, you score on every drive, you get the pick six, you get a couple of short fields to start the game, and you're, you know, reset the program record for fastest to 21 points.
Right.
You know, because it was under 6 minutes
right
before Mizzou was up 21-0. And at that point, it's like, well, all right, let's just make this into the glorified practice that it is.
And it was. Let's take a quick break for an ad read. At Carpet Values, we offer the guaranteed lowest prices on all your flooring needs. And now, during our fall savings event, you can save even more. We are stocked full of carpet, vinyl plank, tile, laminates, rugs, and more. Don't miss out on these hot fall savings. Come see us at Carpet Values and take advantage of our guaranteed lowest prices. We're your low-price superstore at I-70 and Highway 54 in Kingdom City. So I guess at that point you kind of go, well, was there anything, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot that you can take away from this game in terms of, you go, this was worrisome. I don't think there's anything you looked at was worrisome. But like, were there any negatives that popped up to you from the Mizzou standpoint where they maybe go, okay, this bears watching?
The deep ball accuracy.
Okay.
You saw 5 or 6 kind of shots down the field
Sure.
like that and didn't hit on any of them. That was kind of explained away post-game as maybe a little bit too much adrenaline. You know, week one, you're getting that first opportunity, and maybe there's just a little bit too much on the throws or not quite enough touch to let the guys run under him. You know, that's something I'm sure we'll see again this week. I bet, you know, there's going to be more than a few shots downfield just to see, you know, can we get this timing kind of locked in before we're facing opponents where you only get one or two chances at it.
Right.
Because all of those plays were the correct read.
Okay.
Right, so, you know, you're getting five or six shots down the field. That's a lot. And, you know, you might think in a more competitive matchup, if you're taking five or six, that means you're trying to force them. They
right.
were all the right play.
Right.
They were all open. It was just maybe, you know, 2, 3, 4 yards too far on the throw.
Sure. I guess the one good thing that, or, I mean, we saw plenty of good things, but I guess one of the things that was good in terms of just, okay, let's just maybe be looking for down the road a bit, was we got to see some extended time for Drew Pine. So I guess, you know, what did you think about him when you got to see kind of, I mean, I think he threw 10 or 11 passes and completed most of them. So what did you think about him in terms of let's, you know, not that we want to be hurrying and Brady out the door, but we're like, okay, well, life after Brady Cook might look like this.
He efficiently operated the offense with generally backups. So, you know, like we said, it's a glorified practice. It's kind of a scrimmage.
Right.
You know? But he did exactly what he needed to. He made the correct reads. He got the ball where it needed to be and looked pretty good doing it with the guys who are also trying to work into that, you know, more playing time rotation. So it's the guys who, you know, aren't the frontline guys.
Right.
And they all played pretty well. The offense continued to move efficiently throughout the second half with Pine and with the backups and even at the end, mostly freshmen.
Yeah. It's hard to ever talk about defense in a 51-0 game where no one really feels like they're ever challenged, but did you see anything on that side of the ball where you go, oh, this was, you know, I don't think there were any outstanding, like, you know, in a game like that where a lot of people played, there wasn't like, I don't think anybody that got above like three tackles, so it's not like, oh my gosh, look at those numbers right there by that guy. But was there anything that you saw maybe just in terms of a look or a scheme or just, hey, maybe this backup, maybe they look deeper because they've got, you know, they rotated 84 guys in at this position and got a lot of playing time for people. Was there anything that you kind of like that hit you from that side of the ball?
Hey, you're talking about the defense like it's not the number one total defense in the country right now. They only allowed 85 yards.
So again, I'll be the guy that tempers that enthusiasm, I guess.
and one play in plus territory.
Right, right.
You know, it was fine. Yeah, you know, you got a lot of time with backups. The mostly freshman comment was aimed kind of toward the defensive side. That final drive was almost entirely freshmen on the field. The transfers looked pretty good, you know. Toriana Pride got that pick six. Chris McClellan made a couple of nice plays, you know. When given the opportunity on the field, guys were making the plays they needed to make.
Yeah.
Again, it's hard to really judge anything from that game.
Right, right.
Because, yeah, they gave up one play in plus territory. Yeah. That wasn't because of the Missouri defense.
Right. Well, I think I just counted up. It looks like 23 different guys had a tackle at some point in that game.
I mean, it is impressive.
It is very impressive. I mean, you don't see that number very often where you go, well, that many?
23 guys make a tackle. You had 11 receivers catch a pass. You had like six running backs get at least one. Well, six total players get at least one carry.
Yeah.
Because Brady Cook and Drew Pine both got at least one. So, you know, they were spreading out the opportunities on both sides of the field.
Right,
that was good to see.
Absolutely. You get everything that you want in terms of touches. So, you know, I guess we now turn our attention forward. You know, it's the 6 o'clock tonight, SEC Plus Network. Get to play Buffalo. Buffalo also comes in 1-0. So they won 30-13 against Lafayette. My first question will be for you, which Lafayette? And was that a good win? And what should we take away from that?
It's Lafayette out of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So not Louisiana.
Okay.
Lafayette's like the 19th ranked FCS team.
Okay.
So, you know, not a terrible brand. They're better than Murray State.
Right, right.
You know, so I think a win was expected.
Okay.
But to come out and you know, look relatively dominant was good for Buffalo.
Yeah.
Offensively, you know, they were just about even, got right up to 400 yards and right about 200 rushing and 200 passing.
Okay.
I think that's probably best case scenario for their offense.
Sure.
But
I guess it shows you what they want to ideally maybe do.
Yeah, I think if the Buffalo offense is working properly, that's probably about what they want.
Yeah.
Is that even split type
right,
of
work. Right. So I guess the point is that if you're Mizzou, then you've got to come in defensively and just kind of be ready for just about anything. I mean, in terms of, you know you're going to see a healthy dose of both, so you're not going to be like, okay, we're going to load up on this or load up on that. I guess you just have to kind of, come in and be prepared for them to do just about anything.
Yeah, and, there's a little bit of familiarity that Coach Drinkwitz talked about in his press conference this week with quarterback C.J. Agbana. I hope I said that correctly.
Okay.
He played at SEMO a couple of years ago when he came to Columbia. So they've got, a little bit of familiarity, again, is the word, with him. And then, Buffalo was splitting carries kind of throughout the game. They had their main back got 14 attempts for about 100. Another back got 14 attempts for 43. So you're looking out for a handful of different guys. But I think the main focus, like it was last week, is just making sure that, the Mizzou defense is reading plays correctly,
right,
ending up in the right spot. You're not necessarily focusing as much on the overall defensive result, kind of in the same way you weren't last week.
Right, right. How are we looking on the injury front for the Tigers after one game?
Tight end Brett Norfleet is going to be out this week. He's listed as week to week. He left with, I think, a shoulder injury during the Murray State game. I don't think it's a long-term thing. They're probably just thinking, there's no need to rush him back for this matchup.
Right.
So we'll get Tyler Stevenson and Jordan Harris kind of taking those tight end spots. I don't expect that to change much. Norfleet had a catch or two last week. With the way the receivers played and the way I kind of expect this game to go, they're not going to need,
right,
serious tight end pass catching options this week.
Absolutely. So just looking at it right now, looks like it's 34.5 this week,
yeah,
is the number. So I guess
a little closer.
Yeah, a little bit closer. So I guess that brings maybe a few more things in place. So I guess we will have that to watch and see if we have any late movement on it or anything. But so I guess we'll just get to the point where we go, okay, before we get to the prediction, do you see anything about Buffalo that might scare Missouri? I mean, is there any conceivable situation where you go, just this team and the way they're operating now, as opposed to maybe last year's team where you're just like, we came off a shaky kind of win and then we're like, okay, I don't know what comes next. I feel like you don't want to ever be overconfident, but I feel like maybe we're appropriately confident.
Yeah, I think it would take a pretty perfect game played by Buffalo with, like we were
fair
talking
enough
about,
yeah,
a couple of aggressive decisions,
right,
that go the Bulls' way.
Yeah.
And then a good number of mistakes still would need to be made by, yeah, Missouri for this to be a relatively close game late. Yeah. So I think the Tigers are pretty appropriately confident in that. 35's still a lot of points to give a team.
Right.
I think that's probably pretty close to.
All right. So I'll just ask you, I'm assuming it's a Mizzou win, and do they cover?
Yes, a Mizzou win, and sure, I was wrong last week on covering, so I'll say they do, and I'll say Tigers win 45-6.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Kyle McAravey, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Kyle McAravey on Twitter at Kyle_McAravey. That's McAravey. Thanks for listening.